For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The NFL draft is coming. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for the most complete draft coverage in the ATL. Join us Thursday, 7 o'clock. Mike Conte, West Durham, Dave Archer take you through the first round of the draft live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And stay with us all weekend long for pick-by-pick coverage, guys, late-night wrap-up shows. It's all brought to you by your local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free, and the NFL draft starting Thursday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How excited are you, man? By the way, we're going to talk with our buddy Ross Tucker coming up here. How excited are you, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's always an exciting time of the year. I'd be a little more excited if we had more picks, you know, because, you know, not having a third rounder, especially when you consider Daniel Jeremiah and a lot of other experts of the draft feel it's a worker bee draft. We'll talk to Ross about the perception of the quarterbacks here in a minute, but I just know that, you know, we feel we're a few players away. I mean, you could argue we're more than a few players away, but if you get it right, as we did in 16, then you're in. That's what makes it. That's why it's the ultimate crap game. Because if I had told you in 16 we're going to draft three starters, four if you count Austin Hooper. I mean, we got the defense right. Now, it wasn't enough, obviously, to hold on to the Super Bowl, but it certainly exceeded expectations.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, who are the Falcons in on, and who are they out on? We'll talk about it. Right now, let's talk to Ross Tucker. Of course, Ross is our Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure you check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, always good to talk with you this time of year. The news, at least today, or one of the news headlines is the Titans GM, Mike Borgonzi, came out and said, we have come to a consensus as an entire organization to stay with the number one pick. They are not going to trade the pick. We can all assume that pick is Cam Ward. That's the easy part, right? I mean, we all pretty much know that's happening.
I'm not assuming that, okay? I'm going to do it right here on your show more than 48 hours in advance. I am predicting that the Tennessee Titans are going to take Cam Ward, the number one overall pick. You heard it here first, fellas.
Okay. Yes, okay.
I wanted to go on the record with that. It is interesting, though, isn't it? Because what I always find most fascinating is how much stuff changes since the last time guys actually play football. And there was not any consensus during the season that Cam Ward was the number one guy or clearly better than Shedeur Sanders or whatever. But since everybody's been watching the tape and since the season ended, that certainly seems to be the consensus, that most people feel that way as it relates to Cam Ward. And I couldn't be happier. I mean, guys, we're not talking about this enough, okay? This guy started his college career at Incarnate Word. Hey, okay, in all sincerity, does any listener right now know where Incarnate Word is?
Yes, and the only reason I know is because I'm from there. Yes, San Antonio, Texas. Yes, private
nice.
School. Private school. Mm-hmm. About 3,000, maybe 4,000 kids. When I knew about it, I don't know what it is now. Most people have no idea, Ross, to your point. And the only reason he got that scholarship is because his high school team ran the wing tee. He didn't even throw the ball in high school. So nobody even knew how good Cam Ward could be coming into college, and that's why he didn't get any offers at 6'3", 220 pounds.
So my high school ran the wing tee. So I'm intimately familiar, and it was awesome as an offensive lineman because we got to pull around and run and hit people, and it was it's like the only offense out there that features the offensive line. It was great, but I'm thrilled for him. And when we have the discussion of the transfer portal and the pros and the cons and everything, we got to remember guys like Cam Ward, because I don't care how well he played at Incarnate Word, he wouldn't have been the number one pick if he had stayed there.
All right, and now to be Debbie Downer with Ross Tucker. A lot of folks say if this was a draft a couple years ago, he's the seventh, or even last year, he's like the sixth or seventh best quarterback. Kind of like when the Steelers took Kenny Pickett at 20th. He's probably not one of the top 100 players in that draft. So is that unfair, or is that accurate that Cam Ward wouldn't stack up with last year's quarterback class?
You know, I've heard people say that. Most of the people I have talked to think he'd be somewhere between 4 to 7, right? Mm-hmm. That maybe he's not where people had Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels as well as Drake May, but that he would fit in with the next group of Penix Jr. and McCarthy and Bo Nix. And I agree with that. I mean, he's pretty darn good, guys. I think people are overstating that a little bit when they say that. And the Kenny Pickett thing's interesting, because there were a lot of people that really liked him. I mean, really liked him when he came out. And obviously, the Steelers are one of them. Ironically, a lot of the Kenny Pickett conversation is sort of reminiscent of the Shedeur Sanders conversation, which is that it's like, okay, really, really good player, had an amazing year, career, whatever, but he's not that big. He's not that fast. He doesn't have that strong of an arm. You know, that kind of missing like the physical characteristic that really blew you away, which interestingly is what a lot of people are saying about Shedeur Sanders. And a lot of people think, you know, he might end up going now 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So do they get another Kenny Pickett type?
It's going to be interesting. That pick in itself, if he goes early, if he goes late. Let's talk offensive linemen, because that's something you're very familiar with. What do you think about this O-line class? Ironically, the Falcons, you know, I do not think that they're going to pick an offensive lineman here early, but it doesn't mean that they might not try to add depth if they add some additional picks. What do you make of this O-line class?
Yeah, so, I mean, a couple things on the Falcons, just because I knew we were talking. I love the idea, depending on who's there in the first round, man, I would love if they could pick up, if they could move down and pick up some extra picks, because they're not going to get Abdul Carter or Mason Graham. And they're, you know, some of the defense, and I don't even think they'll get Mykal Williams, right? I would love to see them double up on the D-line, one edge guy, one interior guy. This is the draft to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think the Falcons could slide down, you know, into the 20s and pick up some more picks and still be able to double dip. The concern is, or the question is, who wants to move up and who do you want to move up for? So they might kind of get their pick of the next tier or the next group of those guys that aren't the guys that I just named. As for the offensive line, it's interesting because there's a little bit of a flaw with every guy, right? So Will Campbell, not quite as long as you would like him to be. That doesn't bother me that much, but there are people that does cause concern. Armon Membu from Missouri, he reminds me a lot of a former teammate of mine in Jason Peters. I mean, their body type, what they look like on the field, how they play, eerily similar to me, at like 6'4", 330-something, got some nasty to him, longer arms, raw. I mean, I remember, you know, Peters came out of Arkansas. He was on the practice squad, guys, for the Buffalo Bills in 2004 when I was starting. That should be like on my gravestone. Think about that. I mean, a first ballot Hall of Famer was on practice squad and they had me starting. That's bad coaching right there. But in all sincerity, and then even like Kelvin Banks, who has the ideal length that you're looking for and is maybe a little bit more polished than Membu, there's just something, he doesn't have the consistency that you would want. Banks should be, based on his experience and physical traits, he should be the number one guy off the board, but he's not going to be. And I think part of that's because he just hasn't put it all together for whatever reason.
Right. It's a Ross Tucker, by the way, Carl, all Ivy League in 2000 here on the waitfor.com hotline.
Pretty damn good.
The thing that Carl and I have been debating a lot with our experts, Ross, is the Travis Hunter phenomenon. And if he just goes, if it's chalk and he just goes to Cleveland, the imaginative nature of a coaching staff to, yes, I will let him play both sides. Obviously, he's going to not play, 100 plays a game. But what about the idea? Is he a wide receiver first or corner first in your mind?
Well, honestly, we could debate this for hours. It's fascinating. I called the Colorado State game last year. He might be the best college football player I've ever seen in my entire life. I went to a practice at Boulder, then watching that game. I don't think people realize, you guys know this because you're in the heart of college football country, a lot of these teams run, up-tempo, right? So it's like 160 snaps a game. In NFL, it's like 120. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference. And so for him to be out there for that many snaps, and I've talked to people that graded just Travis Hunter the corner and just Travis Hunter the receiver, and they were both top five players. I've had people confirm to me he is the number one corner in the draft. He is the number one wide receiver in the draft. This is bananas. However, it does seem like, Mike, that there's more of – people think he's readier to be a more dominant player on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
That's problematic because it's much easier to have a guy go to all the defensive meetings because communication in the secondary is critically important. You can't just throw a guy out there, a corner, and him not, know what coverage it is, know, all the intricacies of the defense. When they're man or zone. So three distinct thoughts here, right? Number one, the easiest thing to do if he's going to play both ways would be to be a full-time corner, part-time package receiver. Okay, but that doesn't seem to be where they think he could have the most impact right now. They think he's most ready on offense to be a difference-making player. And oh, by the way, the Browns at 2, Giants at 3, they need him to be that type of player. They need him to be more impactful on offense. The other thing I was thinking about, and anybody can play along in this game, right? Let's say he could give you a bunch of snaps both sides of the ball and be very good at receiver and very good at corner. Would you rather have a guy that's very good at both or elite at one? That might be what we're talking about here.
I agree. Right. I mean, that you're absolutely right. And, the kid went to high school here at Collins Hill. People saw him. He was the number one recruit coming out. And, the story about Dion convincing him to go to Jackson State. Kid's legit, man. I agree with you. He's going to be good. I don't care where he ends up. He's going to impact the draft. And that's why I think he's the best player in this draft because of that. Ross Tucker, obviously, guys, Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure you check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast, and on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, it's always good to talk with you. Where are you taking in the draft, by the way? Where are you going to be?
Oh, you guys will love this. My friends over at Labatt Blue Light, they are sponsoring nice. A draft watch party with me Thursday night. Back in my hometown, Reading, Pennsylvania, at my favorite bar growing up. It's called Third and Spruce. So,
oh, nice.
And they're paying for a, speaking of the wing tee, they're paying for the first beer of anybody that comes wearing while missing high school football gear, which is just, I mean, if you had told me and my buddies that someday I'd be getting paid to watch the draft and drink beer with people at my favorite bar, you got to be like, what a life we're living.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Nice.
Hey, Ross, have fun. That's awesome. We'll talk to you afterwards, man, and get your opinions on all the stuff that's going to go down this weekend. It's going to be crazy. Enjoy, my friend, and have one for us.
I will absolutely do that. Sounds great. See you guys.
Ross Tucker here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What would your high school bar be for you back in Texas?
It's a good question. We had multiples. Because
PRB one, come on.
Well,
pick one.
No, because I wasn't drinking and having a mustache in high school like some of you guys.
Right. Yeah, for us it was Mulcahy's.
Yeah, I didn't start that until we got to college. And then when you start talking about college, it's 6th Street, and there's multiple places that right. we hit.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, Mike, for those of you who don't know, I'm not throwing shade, but Mike, he showed me a picture one time. I said, who's that? He goes, it's me.
Yeah, I looked like I was 23 when I was 15. It was a great advantage, getting into bars and clubs.
I was like, who is that? This dude has a full mustache. I'm like, Mike's like, no, that was me. I'm like, how old are you? I'm 15. So, anyway, look at I have a baby face still to this day. I mean, I barely can grow hair. And you're talking about me, you know. Come on. I wouldn't have even had a fake ID that would have worked back then.
The best, I know we got to go to break. I'll save that story for Guy Talk. The time the cops raided the bar looking for underage drinkers.
Oh, all right. Yeah, the one time we got threatened. Oh, you know what? I'll tell you that when we come back.
Right.
When we come back, I'll tell you. All right, man, more to get to. Ross Tucker stopping by. Plenty of draft conversation still here on the show, guys. Don't go any.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line. Plus, 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Where?
That was a fun conversation with our buddy Ross Tucker. Got a lot of guys hitting us up on the text line. You know, we have had some fun with this one over the years. No matter where you grow up, Carl, there is your neighborhood bar. And as Carl was pointing out earlier, if you grow up out in the country, you know, there's maybe a watering hole where the owners look the other way. If there's some youngins in there. But if you're in a larger metropolitan area, usually there's a place you can always find. There's the bar the youngsters get back in the day get in. And when I was a kid, the drinking age was 19. Which made things a lot easier. Not to mention, for much of my childhood, Carl, a paper ID without a photo was also good.
That's true.
So, man, you could get away with it. And that's another question. My fake ID name was Mike DiMizio, which is great because then you don't have someone like when the bouncer's checking your ID and someone calls you Mike and your fake ID says George.
Yeah, you don't answer to it.
Obviously blows it, just blows it, screws the whole thing up.
You have to you're absolutely right. You have to have some truth to the fake ID.
Right, right.
Whether it's the address number, all right, but a different street, whatever.
Well, you can't have a fake ID. I've always been 5'7", 5'8", in heels, and it lists me as 6'2".
Correct.
That's going to be an impossibility.
Well, this doesn't look like you, and you're not this tall.
Right.
But no, I was going to say, and I want to hear your story as part of Guy Talk.
Right.
It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we're going to have more on the draft here in just a second as we talk about what's going on around the NFL. But I was going to say, there was one time we got busted. And we were all seniors in high school, and all the guys that we were hanging out with, we were all of us had committed.
Mm.
So our scholarships were on the line, and we're out at a house party hanging out, And somewhere, a buddy of mine sent me a picture of this years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, and I just started laughing because I remembered. You ever see a picture from, it takes you right back to that place?
Right.
And I remember this party and, like, the girls that were there and, like, who we were trying to, who we were trying to holler at. And, right. And there's beer all, everywhere on the right. table. That just beer everywhere. And I remember that party because we're all sitting there and woo, and somebody said, the cops are busting this party. And everybody was so afraid that we were going to get our scholarships taken away because we would have been minors in possession at that point. And so, right, and once you guys, if you've been through this, you guys know, but they're like, once you sign, it's like, don't get in any trouble, right? You're literally, you're looking forward to, like, the next semester and you're going away, and it's like, don't get in any trouble. So we're having a good time, man, and these cops, I mean, it was like 6 cop cars.
Right.
Whoop, they roll up. Noise, you know, somebody complained about the noise and the music.
Of course.
And to your point, Mike, like, literally, we scattered like cockroaches. Everybody's running their own way. People are jumping fences. And everybody that got, you know, we all got away.
Right.
But to this day, we're like, dude, do you remember that night that we were like this close? And by the way, we had friends that went to jail. They handcuffed friends of ours. People went to jail because they were trying to prove a point. Like, all of you are going to jail tonight. Everybody's running. So to your point about drinking underage, Mr. Mustache,
that
was not necessarily all the time.
I know it would probably be about, you know, based on the time of the movie, Dazed and Confused is mid-70s, so you'd have been in school 10 years later or a little bit more. How much of that, growing up in San Antonio, was like Dazed and Confused, which takes a part in like sort of like country, small-town Texas?
Yeah, but see, this is the deal. Even when I was there, when we went to high school, it was the 10th largest city in the country, Mike.
Right.
Population-wise. It's not a big city, population-wise, right? It's still
spread out.
Yeah, it was still the 10th largest city. So it wasn't like when you say West Texas, you are literally talking about like you're talking about like Friday Night Lights and Odessa Permian. San Antonio wasn't like that. It wasn't just isolated in a small town and we're riding horses to school. But I will tell you that some of that stuff, absolutely, it played out. You're talking about Dazed and Confused, which is a great movie, by the way. If you've never seen it, go check it out. Early Matthew McConaughey, it's a great movie. But no, man, I find it fascinating when you tell these stories like, yeah, we were at this bar in the city, and I'm like, how old were you? I was 16. I'm like, how are you getting away with this? But I will say this, in a big city,
right.
It's there are a lot less opportunities for them to like shake you down and check you out.
It's just, you know, when I was a kid, we all wore suits, and not like, you know, it was like Goodfellas or anything like that. But when I say suits, Oren, our producer and engineer, I mean like, you know, Chess King. You know, like a merry-go-round, like a tan, like a tan double-breasted suit with like a purple shirt and a tan matching tie, but that was the ensemble. And I was 14 years old with fake ID at a bar called the Lemon Tree in Queens Village, and I was just so blown away that I got in that when I got down to the bar, it was downstairs, and I go into the bartender's like, "What are you drinking?" And I'm like, what does Dad do? So I even faked the voice. I go, give me a 7 and 7.
You don't sound like that.
Because I sounded like Joe Pesci when I was a child. Thanks to my professor in Florida State for, you know, beating that accent out of me. But anyway, we'll talk more about that in Guy Talk. Great. Ross Tucker is going to have a pretty cool event with one of my favorite beers up there, Labatt's. And they're going to be just his old high school bar. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you get Labatt's down here. I think you can get Labatt's
certainly.
Down here.
I mean, I know they
I'm
have.
I'm thinking of some of the, you know, some of the regional beers.
They have Labatt's at on draft at Twin Peaks.
Do they?
Yeah, Labatt's Blue. I drink Labatt's Blue.
You sure did, yes. Because I was going to say, there are some of these regional beers that you cannot necessarily get. I think pretty much you can find them everywhere now, but you go to certain parts of the country and it's like, oh, you can only find it here. I was like, only in Michigan. All right, man, as we talk about the NFL draft, we're going to get back into the Braves. Look, it's not about winning, right? It is. 4 in a row is great. They're going to try to make it 5 tonight. Sean Murphy's coming alive, but it's funny because Mike and I were talking about, I think it was Jeff Francoeur who came on, not with us, but was quoted as saying a lot of different things about trying to defend Snicker with this whole Ronald Acuna thing. We will fill you in on that as well. But, Mike, as far as the draft, here's what we know, at least leading up to the next couple of days. And coming up at 5, I'm going to tell you who I think the Falcons may be in on. Stay tuned for that.
Mm.
Peter Schrager saying the Browns and the Giants are fielding trade inquiries. So you have the Titans who come out today and say, organizationally, we're committed to staying at number one. Okay, great. I think it's too cost prohibitive for somebody to come get the number one pick this year. If there was a game-changing kind of player that everybody was in on, you'd have more teams willing to give up draft capital and maybe make a move with the Titans. That is not the case right now. So, Mike, I think the Titans are saying, look, nobody's going to give our price. That might be the cops calling me right now.
We have a statue beer ticket from 1992.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. We've got the picture. But somebody's saying, hey, we're going to give up what you want. That's not happening. But Peter Schrager saying the Browns and the Giants are fielding inquiries.
Now, the thing about the Giants is they, and you probably, if you guys are following this, you've probably seen this and read this. The Giants have done almost 2 years of work on Shedeur Sanders. So it's either the greatest work, if you want to use a wrestling phrase, of all time to create a sense of urgency to come up and get him, or they are just literally going to sit there till the 11th hour. And won't that be something, Carl, when they're on the clock, if the Giants, you'll know pretty early if they don't make their selection. They're fielding calls and they take it all the way down to the last few minutes. But are they maybe just in love with Abdul Carter? They don't trust Shedeur Sanders necessarily. This dynamic of Shedeur Sanders falling all the way to 15 and beyond. That's the two most compelling storylines is what's going to happen there. And is anyone moving up to get any of these quarterbacks we don't think are really worth taking in the top 20?
Well, Tyler Shuck's one of them.
Right.
And he's gotten momentum here over the last couple of weeks, more so than I think anybody knew about or at least perceived at the time. Darren Mugi, Mike, is the new general manager for the Jets. He was asked about Aaron Rodgers. That's the other compelling thing, right? Because you're talking about Shedeur potentially falling, and if he doesn't go here, if he doesn't go there, does it say something about maybe they know what Aaron Rodgers is doing? And then who knows? Because today Mike Tomlin came out and said, Rodgers will have no effect on how we approach this draft. We're going to do what we need to do. Hmm. Typical Mike Tomlin, like, we don't care. Right. If he comes, great. But if he doesn't, we're still going to draft the way we need to draft. Here is the new general manager of the Jets talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation.
I understand the question. I addressed that at the combine. But today I just want to talk about the draft and Jets players.
You have any regrets from that meeting?
I understand the question, but I'm just going to talk about the draft and current Jets players.
They were trying to get him to answer what Aaron had said happened in the meeting with him and Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugi.
Always, no, that's one of my pet peeves. I understand the question. Well, if you understand the question, answer the question. It's the most condescending thing that anybody in sports can say in a power position.
You know who used to say that to
him? Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
You know who used to say that, right? Dan Quinn used to say that, guys. He used to say that all the time. Fellas, I understand the question.
Drives me
answer
up
it.
A wall. Well, then, okay, then you understand. Let's have it. Let's have out with it.
DQ used to say that all the time. Fellas, I understand the question. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
Remember, because we literally did good cop, bad cop for like, I think it was left guard for like 4 weeks in a row during camp. I understand the question. Competition continuing. Iron sharpens. Oh, stop it.
Yep. That was DQ. I mean, he'd say that all the time. But he would not answer that question as far as how Rodgers described how that meeting went. And I don't think they're going to. Mike, I think they're so ready to move on, they don't want to address that. Here are a couple of other things. Matthew Stafford will welcome a quarterback with open arms and try to teach him as much as he possibly can. Look, there are five teams right now, in my opinion, that need quarterbacks. I don't know if all five are going to take them. The last two are the most interesting. Steelers at 21. Rams at 23. Rams know they're running out of time with Matthew Stafford. Why does Stafford come out all of a sudden now and say, oh, of course, with open arms? His career is almost done. He may make another run to the Super Bowl. They're young, they're talented, they're good enough. But, Mike, I think that everybody is dismissing Sean McVay potentially drafting a guy this
draft.
Yes,
you know me, man. Is he a man crush? I'd say so. I mean, again, from right here in Atlanta, guy certainly at Marist, knows what he's doing, can take a guy like Jalen Milroe and maximize his talent. I think Milroe needs he needs the loving touch, Carl, to maximize his talent. Matthew Stafford also said that talking about the Giants was just simply a marketing ploy from his agent. He was never really considering going to New York. Always wanted to stay in Los Angeles.
All right, man. We got more to get to. By the way, 4th and 1 brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We are live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Thursday. Make sure you join us. It's going to be a lot of fun and seeing where the Falcons go and what goes down in the first round. But when we come back, they win again, but the closer struggled. Is it a real concern? We'll get into it next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you, by the way, by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up, 4 o'clock hour, we got more in store as we will continue to talk about the draft and the dogs that are going to be a part of at least the first round. But there'll be plenty of dogs drafted over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Looking forward to it in our coverage right here Exclusive coverage, guys. Nobody's going to give it to you like 92.9 The Game and all the different angles. And Thursday is going to be a big day as Mike and I will be down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and then followed by, as we mentioned, Mike Conti, Dave West, the voice and the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, giving you all that you need when it comes to the NFL draft. Let's talk about the Braves here real quick, Mike. And Mike and I were just discussing, we don't keep stuff from you, former Brave Jeff Van Coor's comments about Ronald Acuna. And I said to Mike, the thing that was, I guess, upsetting to some people is that he insinuated that they don't need Ronald Acuna when talking about this situation and how Acuna threw his teammates under the bus by going on social media and making this a bigger story than what he assumes it probably should have been. Mike and I have had great encounters with Jeff Van Coor, not taking shots at Jeff. He does a great job on the broadcast that he does, and this has nothing to do with that. But there are a lot of people who are saying his tone, Mike, and the way that he discussed this situation was a little bit alarming. And when you start talking about, again, he was, I guess, upset about Ken Rosenthal, who, by the way, brought up the fact that the three players that were punished by Snicker were Latin. Ken Rosenthal's one of the best baseball writers around and has been for many years. And he mentions in his article, if you want to go read it, how this perception, as I talked about, right, everybody didn't see the world the same, but the perception is, okay, Kelnick loafs and he doesn't get punished for it. And then when Snit was asked about it, you know, obviously he said, well, was I supposed to? So Rosenthal writes this article, and Frank Coor apparently went after him for making it you don't have to make it a racial thing. Well, Jeff, I'm sorry. Some people want to know why there is, as we've been saying on the show, Mike, for the last 48 hours, if in fact there is a double standard.
Right. And look, I'm a big fan of Franchi, love the broadcast, love the work he's done, love him as a player. And not having heard the full context of it, I just think what I've read that was taken from it, it's been published, so it's out there. I mean, it just, you're back in Snicker, and I get that. I mean, it just, to me, the thing with Ronald, yes, in a perfect world, Kelnick doesn't watch the ball. He runs to second base and he gets a stand-up double. Snit is actually watching the player. One of his coaching staff says, hey, Kelnick, what the hell, man? We have accountability right here, right in the moment. And if Snicker decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to pull Kelnick from the game right now. Problem is, we're so thin, I don't know if that was even a consideration. But, you know, and I've seen both sides. But now, again, if you're not a person of color, you might not be affected by this. Well, you're not taking in the entire, all the complexities of the story. Because, yes, there is a standard. It was established. And then it becomes a double standard when it's not followed through. When a guy like Kelnick, and I don't know what your allegiance to Kelnick is as opposed to a Marcelo Ozuna or a Ronald Acuna. You know, I don't follow. I'm not tracking where you're thinking about this. Look, Ronald, yes, as a young ball player, was he doing things that maybe need to be called out? Certainly. And there are guys I said yesterday that are in Cooperstown that have had the same kind of mistakes about immaturity, and they're in Cooperstown because they got it together. I've just felt that if I'm Ronald, yeah, I wish you would just talk to Snicker and then this wouldn't be a thing. But that's okay because they've never had your back. Snicker, and this is part of the problem, and this is why I would disagree with Jeff Van Coor. They have never, going back to the time that Freddie was here, or, you know, was there overlap with Brian McCann? I've got to go back and look.
I don't think so.
But it was more about Freddie, and then it was later on, it was Darnell, guys like that.
Because his first season.
Brian was gone. But it just seems like, and I get it, but I'm invoking Brian because the old school way of doing things that you don't want to see somebody showboat for the Marlins or somebody showboat for the Dodgers, whoever it was, or the Nationals, if it was Juan Soto at the time. But to me, we've never protected we've never protected our star, going all the way back to when they beaned him in a blowout playoff loss, which is humiliating, and all the way back to run-ins with the Marlins and other instances where they've thrown Don Mattingly specifically thrown at Ronald Acuna. I just feel that Ronald might feel like, hey man, I'm working my butt off. Yes, I've been injured, but I'm injured because I'm hustling, not like I'm injured because I'm loafing.
Right.
So I'm feeling like, let's give Ronald. Why doesn't Ronald get the benefit of the doubt? Oh no, Ronald, terrible that Ronald would bring that. What? I think you're missing the whole story there.
Yeah, and I also think it was implied. And again, you know, we have a big show. We have a lot to worry about during the day. I cannot hear all the things that may or may not have happened. And I appreciate everybody who sent me stuff and said, what's going on with Frenchie? Why is he saying this stuff about Acuna? But I think the implication, Mike, was that Ronald, early in his career, to Mike's point, had been warned about some of this stuff. And then when it happened in a game.
Right.
Then I got to show you and make an example.
6 years ago, 2019.
And he hadn't done it since. He hadn't done it since. So, you know, it happens. It happens every day if you watch baseball, to be quite honest with you. There are numerous guys that they think they're getting a home run or a double off the wall, Mike, and they don't run as hard as they should. Nevertheless, It's up to each and every team and how they handle those situations. My issue was simply to defend Snit as a person, which is what Frenchie did, right. is great. I'm with you. I think he's a great person. You want to defend him as a manager? Winning manager, World Series manager. But then you can't go off the rails and say the things you did and necessarily trying to say, hey, Ronald deserved to be benched when he got benched. Kelnick, not so much. Like, that's the implication, Mike. And people are like, not so fast. So either way, right. People still have an opinion about how this all went down.
And I go back to, Jimmy Johnson says you treat your stars differently than you treat your, the 53rd man on the roster. And what is this thing about Kelnick? I mean, Kelnick, guys, he's not been good. It's good. One guy says up on our Twitter feed, he says, Matt goes, I think the coaching staff was so surprised that Kelnick made contact that it caught them off guard. That's funny.
That is funny.
But no, in the case of some of the fans, it's like, why are you guys making it about race? No, you guys made it about race. We're just talking about a double standard. Now, as Ken Rosenthal points out, an outsider, Ken Rosenthal. Well, I mean, it's a story because it happened. It's something occurred and there's no consistency. And when you have a history with a player, now the reason I bring this up is if Ronald comes back and gets back to being the player he was pre-injury, I'd like to think that he's earned the right to have somebody protect him if he does some of the things that that 200 players are doing nowadays, which is actually having fun.
Having fun. It's entertaining us.
Correct.
Yes.
The swag, now I get it. The old farts that don't want to see a guy flip a bat or have a Mr. T starter set, to paraphrase some people, that's their style. Okay, but I just think that there's wrong on every part. Wrong that Kelnick doesn't run it out. Wrong that Snicker's unaware and doesn't immediately discipline him. And you wish that Ronald didn't even bring it up. But Ronald's got an axe to grind because he feels like this team hasn't had his butt for 6 years.
All fair game. 404-726-0929. Braves did win last night. It was a good one, by the way. Sean Murphy, 3-run home run. 5-inning, 8th inning. It was fun to watch. Riley, I believe in you, is hitting like we expected him to. So things look good. We'll see what they do tonight. It's a bullpen start. But let me ask you this, Mike, because if the Braves continue to struggle in certain areas, okay, they're going to have to address some of this stuff in the trade deadline. And there are reports out there that Ozuna is a, quote, fascinating player to consider, as is in the final year of a 5-year deal. With future deals on the books, there's no guarantee that he will be re-signed as the DH. Meaning, does he become potential trade bait for the Atlanta Braves?
Well, that's interesting because, let's trade the guy who's actually doing his job. Now, again, I get it. It's not as much. This isn't, the argument we used to make for Al Horford, let's get something for him while you can. I don't know. I've not seen anything where Ozuna's even been asked. Maybe that'd be somebody might want to ask Marcel, are you happy here? Would you like to stay here?
Sure.
Because, yes, there's a price to it, and he's a bargain based on the production at $16 million. But, first things first, let's look at the big picture. We don't really have – and by the way, this is not I'm not indicting Alex Anthopoulos. They've gone all in for players they thought were worth it, and some have been better than others. We talked about Kelnick. I'm not a fan. I think Sean Murphy's finally coming around. But we've basically traded our farm system to the A's, right, into the Angels. So we don't really have the depth. So if you're going to look for something as far as a closer, more starting pitching, yeah, you're going to have to give to get. And so I understand why they mentioned Ozuna. I'm just not happy with
me neither. Look,
we'll get Jurickson Profar off the books. Good luck with that.
last 3 years, Ozuna's been really good, man. And with the DH role, Mike, we don't have to worry about him screwing up in the outfield. Like, I think this is a perfect situation for him. Now, how long this lasts? Again, this was a low-risk, high-reward right. deal when we got Ozuna, right? He was a guy that had hit 30 home runs with the Cards, and everybody said, oh, okay, what's he going to do? Point is, he's been really good. I agree. I don't know if that's the route in which I want to go. But if we do have to make deals, depending on how this pitching staff looks, and because right now, listen, Chris Sale, unbelievable. He's got a 6 ERA. Your closer has a 6 ERA. The best pitcher on your staff who pitched last night was Schwellenbach. And, you look at he pitched 7 innings, and you go, all right, well, what about Strider? Well, Strider's now on the 15-day IL. So, again, we're kind of right back to where we were at the beginning of the season when we were saying, all right, we really got one guy we can count on at least right now. We're hoping all of this works itself out. But, Mike, if it doesn't, they're going to have to address this.
Look, Alex will continue to watch the waiver wire. If there's more starting pitching that's dumped, he'll go pick it up, and then we'll have it for a few weeks. Maybe it stays, maybe it doesn't.
Doesn't, right.
Our man Grant McCauley, to your point, it's a grade 1 hamstring strain. He said if he could pitch through it, he wouldn't be having the conversation with Grant about where he's at right now. Quote, it sucks. I just feel like I'm taking up space here again. Words of Spencer Strider. I'll do everything possibly humanly to get back out there as soon as I can. And you already brought up the fact they've already moved Craig Kimbrel up from Columbus to Gwinnett after looking really good down there in Double A.
Look, if he can help us, I have no expectations for Craig Kimbrel. If Kimbrel comes up here and is unbelievable, thank you.
Right.
But if he's not, I also understand they signed him to a minor league deal with just that, hoping that he could come help. And if he does, it's bonus, guys. They're not counting on Craig Kimbrel to be the Craig Kimbrel he was in 2012. That's not the same dude.
Right.
So I look at that, Mike, glass half full, and say, all right, I hope he can help. But, yeah, man, I just feel like those are concerning issues. The good news is we're hitting home runs again. And as a team, we needed to start hitting more long balls, and we're doing that.
Hey, man, yeah, don't trade it. I mean, like, I understand the logic behind it, but, man, Ozuna's the one guy I can bank on. And unlike Matt Olson, he doesn't have, like, two-month-long slumps, okay? He generally has a dip for a couple days, and he gets right back on it. And, look, you know, we're worried about that, you know, the injury, and he's not missed a beat. By the way, a lot of guys hit us up on the text line. Can't read them all, guys, at 404-726-0929. Some guys, you're making a federal case out of this, mountain out of a molehill. Well, again, it doesn't affect you, so you're not really affected. You're not understanding why we're talking about Ronald Acuna and his feelings about this.
When Ken Rosenthal, who is a national writer and who can write about anything he wants in baseball, says,
right.
I'm going to write about what just happened with the Braves, it's a story.
Right.
I'm sorry that you don't want it to be, but it is. And I think, Mike, for Braves country, who was watching this game play out the other night, everybody kind of knew it. When it happened, and then you realize, wait a minute, that was kind of weird. And then everybody starts to – here's the deal. You've got these folks who do this digital research now. They will go back find stuff from years ago that you might have put out there on social media. And the point is, stuff's just started popping up. You guys remember this? Do you remember this? And everybody started – it just got a momentum of its own. I'm with Ken Rosenthal. If I had to write a national column, Mike, I would have been writing about this too, because this is something that needs to be addressed.
Jesse on the text line says, Ronald, another example of his immaturity. When will he learn? Well, let me ask you this, Jesse. Have you ever had somebody in your office, like let's say you took an hour, you're getting an hour for lunch, and you're late, there was a problem with your car, and you're out for 10 minutes. They dock you. They dock you a quarter hour's pay. Somebody else comes home the next day, and he's an hour and a half late, and they don't find him. You have a problem with that?
Is the guy white?
I'm not even bringing race into this. Yes. Oh, you know what? Perfect example. Let's say, Jesse, that your coworker, Hector, comes in and Hector doesn't get docked a quarter hour's pay for being late the loading dock. How would that make you feel about Hector?
It's a great example,
but
Mike.
And the other thing is, and I said this yesterday at the end of the show, I would love that Ronald hadn't done it, but I understand why he did it. Because if that's you feeling, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, man. And look it up. You know what a gander is. The other thing is, I hope Ronald does become the leader. Ronald should be the leader of this team. To be the leader, you got to be out there on the field. But once he's out here, I know he's learning, he's doing it better with his English, with his interviews. I'd love to see Ronald take the mantle of leadership. So these things aren't a question, right? And he leads by example. What if it was Enrique who comes in late?
Okay.
And they don't dock him, but they dock you, Jesse.
All right, we're moving on. This is going off the rails. All right, coming up.
What if it was?
No. You're not going to believe who was at Flowery Branch today. Stay right there. Don't do it.